This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
7-5 and surging towards the postseason. 6 out of the last 7. 3 in a row. I can't remember the last time they had 2 3-game winning streaks in the same season. Would not surprise me, actually, if it was the 2008 season with Jim Zorn when they started 6-2. But maybe you have to go back further than that. Maybe the RG3 season. Denton, check on that. See if they won. I don't think they would have won 3 in a row twice because they finished with 7 straight. Been a long time since you've had 2 3-game winning streaks in the same season. Right now, Washington would be in the postseason if it ended today, but there are 5 games left, a lot more football to be played. Santana Moss joins us right now. Santana doing great work for NBC Sports Washington and others. All right, so I want to start with just the big picture, and then we'll get into some of, you know, the offensive and defensive sides of the ball and Taylor Heinicke, et cetera. Why, in your opinion, have they turned this around from 1-4 and almost 1-5 at Chicago to now being one of the hottest teams in the NFL?
Morning, Kevin. I think the first thing that stands out to me is just complimenting football. I think for a while the defense rose to the challenge and changed things around. I think a little bit after week 2 and 3, our defense had been playing tremendously better. Offensively, we just had been, you know, stinging up the joint. And then you insert Taylor Heinicke, and then the game, I guess the whole scheme of things on the offensive side kind of changed. We've been able to hold on to the ball a little longer, move the chains, especially when you have the running back that we have, feeding those guys the ball and just making things happen on the offensive side, not asking Taylor to do much. And you're seeing our offense, you know, go out there and perform now. And getting the ball into Terry McLaurin hands for that little stretch, too, changed a lot, you know, and gave our offense the spark that we needed. So I think when you really ask me that question, it would be complimenting football. Everybody's now hitting on all cylinders.
All right, on defense, do me a favor and rank the players, best players, 1 through 5.
I mean, that's tough, but I guess if you want to ask me right now where you know, when it comes to it, I say Jay Allen 1, Payne 2. I got to throw Cam Curl in there. I think when he was back into the lineup, that's when things started going up for our defense. He got to be in there. It's hard to rank them all, but I would say those 3 names right there stand out, and you got to add a sweat. You got to add sweat in there, too. But I can say the first 5, it can be Allen, Payne, Curl, Sweat, and the way Damon Davis he's been playing lights out. So I throw Damon Davis in there.
Yeah, that's a good one. I think St. Juice deserves some credit. He wasn't in there Sunday, obviously, and I think they need him.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you what, all 3 safeties, Santana, I think have played really well. But Curl's, I mean, if you go back to Curl entering the lineup in week 3, that's when kind of the defense really started to turn around because they stopped Philadelphia that day on the ground, even though they got beat badly. We're talking to Santana Moss. All right, where are you on Taylor Heinicke and his performance since taking over against the Packers?
I mean, he's Taylor. You know what I mean? Taylor finds a way to get itself in danger and get itself out of danger. And that's something that I've been seeing week in and week out. Now, when it comes to the things that he do well, I just feel like we have to make sure that we give him enough chances to, you know, find a way to just move the ball up and down the field. I've been questioning the whole part of just watching him drop back in the pocket since he's been quarterbacking this year, because I feel like, you know, at times he's taking that I don't know what to even call it. He's on his toes, jumping backwards, throwing balls. And to me, I think that's a big, you know, thing, because he can't see over the line. And then also he's just trying to do the best he can to get the ball in those guys' hands. So Taylor's play has been up and down, but the one thing that stands out the most, he finds a way to make a play when we need it the most. And that's why I think he has the job right now. I think if you look at, if you compare the things that Wentz did before Taylor was, you know, put into the game, Wentz did some great things too. I think the biggest catalyst to why he wasn't being successful on the offensive side was him taking sacks at the worst time. You know what I mean? And you can't have a quarterback holding on to the ball when you're saying, hey, at the end of the day, at worst, get the ball out your hand so we can at least, you know, try to move the ball up and down the field. And that's what Wentz wasn't doing right. But Taylor is finding a way to get the ball out of his hands and not take the sacks.
You know, we're talking to Santana. You played the two teams, like, the, you know, it's pretty amazing, but it's been 17 years since this franchise won a playoff game. And we'll talk about where you think they are kind of in the NFC landscape right now. But that was the 2005 team that had to win five straight games at the end of the year. And then even in 2007, 15 years ago, following Sean's, you know, passing and Todd Collins took over when Jason got hurt, you know, it became kind of a run first defensive team too. You kind of played, didn't you, in the 2005 and 2007 seasons on two teams that are kind of similar to this team?
Yeah, well, the 2005 season, man, we was hitting on all cylinders, but I can say that stretch, you know, things kind of changed drastically for us. I had some big games during that stretch too. Those last, I think, four or five games as well. But we was always a run first team, you know, with Portis back there. See, people start to realize all those teams that I was on for those 10 years, you know. I think you can say the later part of those years when the Shanahan's got here, we were still a run-first team. But, you know, we found a way to get the ball into the guys on the outside, you know, when we needed to. But when you talk about the playoff runs, that stretch in 07 was a bit different, man. I was just talking about it, how Jason Campbell went out that season because of injury. He got healthy, and we was doing well with Todd. Todd was just hitting the right guys, and we was running the ball, running the heck out of the ball. And Jason, you know, was questioning, like, why is he's not, you know, getting back into the lineup. And it was just, you know, evident. We was winning games with Todd, and the wideouts was making plays. And, you know, you name it. So much was going on. But, you know, I do believe that 07 one kind of resembles what's going on right now. I say that one, to me, more than anything, resembles how this team has been playing this year.
Yeah, the only thing that I would say about 2005 is Brunell was not healthy at the end of that year. You know, you had some big games. I remember the Christmas Eve win against the Giants that was big. Mm-hmm. But I think Patrick came in that game. Ramsey had to come in that game.
You
know,
yeah,
but Brunell
down pass late in that game.
Right, Brunell was hurt. I mean, his arm was – something was wrong with it, and you guys won that playoff game against Tampa with defense, and you had a chance at Seattle because of the defense. Anyway, enough reminiscing, although I love that 2005 team. In fact, I've said recently, Santana, and I don't know what you think, I think this defense is the best defense by far, and I don't even think it's close – to any defense this team's had since maybe that 2005 Greg Williams defense. That would be the closest. But I think this is one of the best defensive teams this organization's ever had. What do you think about that?
I second that. You know, I think 2005 defense was – I was just telling London about that last week when he was out there working. 2005 defense was, ooh, he was ferocious. But, man, what these guys are doing now this year, I mean, especially up front, that's one of the things that I had been waiting for that my entire career here, just having the front, you know, our D-line to be able to hunt like these guys are hunting. And the things that Jay Allen and Payne is doing in that backfield, disrupting things up front. You know, I tell folks time and time again, as a receiver, you don't have to have the best corner out there. When you have guys hunting up front like that, that quarterback has to get the ball out of his hand. And regardless of where you're at in your route, if you're not ready, he's not getting it to you. So that's a big reason why our secondary has risen too, because now you have better play from James, I mean, a better play from St. Juice and Fuller. But with those guys, you know, getting after the quarterback like they're doing up front with the sacks and just tackles for loss and just being disruptive as a whole has risen everybody game up.
All right, we're talking to Santana Moss. All right, in the NFC right now, you know, nobody's on a bigger roll than Washington over the last 7 weeks. 6 wins, 1 loss. They're 7-5. They're surging towards the postseason. As you look at the NFC, give me the teams that you think, without debate, are better than Washington right now. I'm not talking about, you know, it's close. I'm talking about name the teams that you think they couldn't beat on the road in the postseason.
How are you going to ask me to name a team they couldn't beat? I don't I'm no genie. I don't know, man. Honestly.
Where do they rank in the NFC right now?
The way I look at it when it comes to week to week, you know, I'm not big on saying this team is just better because of their record or how this team has been playing. I think any given Sunday, Thursday, Monday, whatever you want to call it, any team could be beaten. So I don't know. I'm not the judge or jury of that. But I will say, when it comes to what I see teams have playing, you know, throughout this year, who looks like a total team that can go out there and get the job done, San Fran stands out. You know, they stands out to me. But I'm not saying that we can't beat San Fran. If I had to ask another team, and I would have said Philly some weeks ago before we beat Philly. You know, I was quoted the night of that game that we had no chance to beat Philly, and they proved me wrong. So that's why I won't sit here and be a fool and say, hey, man, this team is that team, and this team is better. Because even as a player, I feel like it was regardless of who was on what high or low, you can be beaten. So the way our team is playing right now, I think they can beat any team, but it's all up to them. I don't know if that's the answer you wanted, but that's the answer I'm going to give.
Well, I'm not looking for a right or wrong answer. I'm just curious as to what your opinion is, and I think it's interesting because you said they didn't have a chance against Philly. They beat Philly. I kind of feel like right now, I think where you are, which is when you can run the football and you can stop the run and you don't have too much self-inflicted damage turnover-wise, unless you're playing an elite quarterback, you got a chance. And I don't see an elite quarterback in the NFC right now. Like I think if they get there and there's still 5 games left and they got to continue to do what they've been doing, but if they get there, I'm not so sure that they can't win a game or two if they get there with the way they're playing. They're not facing Aaron Rodgers. They're not facing Brady, although it's possible they could face Brady, and maybe Tampa would be, you know, a different team a month from now or a month and a half from now. But I think the landscape of the NFC is such that you don't have Patrick Mahomes this year, or Aaron Rodgers, you know, specifically to the NFC. And I think they've got a chance if they get there.
I was going to say they have a great formula going for them right now. And you just hit on that. Run the ball well and stop the run. And, you know, win the turnover battle. That's something that I hop on week in and week out. If you can minimize turnovers and call some plays, especially in the worst times of the game, then you give yourself a great chance. And what you just said about the quarterback play is dead on. And the only thing that I will question and say, when we play quarterbacks that can get outside the pocket, is the thing that bothers me the most. So I want to see us, you know, play how we've been playing with those guys at this point of this year. So you got to think about it. We're getting ready to play the Giants. You look at Danny Jones and you say, yeah, that's Danny Jones. He's not going to beat us with his arm, or you hope he's not going to beat us with his arm, but you try to make him beat you with your arm. We have to make sure we contain him into the pocket, because if you remember the games prior to this, you know, this year, that's one of the things that he's done well, got outside the pocket and made some big runs with his legs. So that's the guy that scares me when it comes to just doing what he does against us. I'm not saying that he does that against anybody else, but for some odd reason, he does that against us. But the way our defense has been playing this year, I'm hoping that we put a stop to that.
Yeah, he's had some of the biggest games of his career against Washington. I think that Sunday surprised me. You know, they faced a dual threat quarterback. They faced a read option quarterback who made some really good decisions, and they got run on for the first time. So I'm with you on the two games against a running quarterback. And by the way, Deshaun Watson is a quarterback they may face. And, you know, Dak's certainly capable of that. And then the other quarterback they face is Garoppolo. But I agree with you, top to bottom, I consider the 49ers to be the best team in the NFC right now. All right, so, you know, I know you're not big into predictions, but what is your gut feel right now on where this goes the rest of the regular season? How many more do they win, and do you think they're in the playoffs?
I mean, you hit it, man. You say I'm not big into predictions.
I know, so but I want you to do it anyway.
Yeah, I'm going to tell you how I do it week in and week out, because I'm a superstitious guy, and I refuse to do something different, and then I see something different. I'm going to blame myself. Each week, man, they have to show me. You know, that's just me, honestly. You know, if you see me on NBC, and when they ask me what I'm thinking, I'm saying, hey, they got to show me. If they really want to be that team, they got to go out here and do it. So, you know, I'm not going to be the one to give it to them and say that they have arrived, because I want to keep putting that pressure on them week in and week out. And that's just me being that super, super superstitious guy thinking that what I'm doing is working for them. So I'm going to continue to do what I'm doing, because it seemed like for some odd reason, when I said what I said against Philly games, those guys have been proven, and they've been proven ever since. So I'm going to stick with it.
All right. Last one, because I'd be remiss not to ask you about the Sean Taylor Memorial thing that they had on Sunday. What were your thoughts?
To be honest with you, I didn't know what to expect. Honestly, I don't remember them saying anything about a statue, but I did think when I saw the little sheet and everything over, I thought I was going to see a statue. So I'm gonna be real with you. You know, it's hard for me to lie. I thought I was going to see a statue, and you know, I didn't. And I'm gonna be right there. I mean, honestly, look, hats off to this organization trying to continue to, you know, allow this fan base to, you know, have a part of his legacy. But I think at the end of the day, we appreciative, the family appreciative, and that's all you can do. You know, I don't want to keep being misleading to the fans, because I hate hearing the negative energy. I don't like negative energy. And when I see the fans pissed off about something that they're doing, and they feel like it's not done right, and who are we to say that something should be done more or less? And that's how I look at it. Did I believe that something could have been done a little more? Yes. I'm gonna be honest with you. I'm with everybody else. Yes. But do I feel that that's the last thing they might try? No. So I just feel like some of this stuff is coming out and it's giving us false hope. And then you get the finished product, and then now you're upset with it. So I appreciate all the things that they're doing. And I guess you could say to them, they didn't say that it was going to be a statue, but for whatever it was, I'm okay with it, because I feel that, you know, at the end of the day, that's what they feel like they wanted to do, and they did that. Should it have been a little more? Yeah, I think it could have been, but who am I to say that, you know?
Thank you for that and everything else. I hope you're well. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, buddy.
All right. Santana Moss, everybody. Scott Jackson called the game on radio Sunday and obviously has a show here with Doc Walker and Linnell on middays now. He'll join us coming up in about 20 minutes. Up next, early Pro Bowl voting, and some of the players that we think probably should be higher on the list are not. I'll explain when we return. Kevin Sheehan Show, the Team 980, the team980.com. We're also free and live on the Odyssey app.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.